Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Revirginized, which is the unofficial best fan podcast for Maxes and Just Like That. It is your girl Candace here, and I just want to apologize quickly for the hiatus. As you guys know, I wrote a book, and so I am now officially a published author on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books Are Magic. And so it was so much that I was doing around the time that the last episode aired. And it was just way too much, guys, which is why I went on Twitter and I told you guys, please, 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 please forgive me for the hiatus. The episode is going to drop and I promise to give it my all. We were supposed to have a surprise guest, but unfortunately we don't have one at the moment, and that is a-okay. It is going to be me, and it's going to be fabulous, especially when you guys find out the outfit that I found for you along with the price tag. So hope you guys are all doing well. Let's get right into it. Now, before I start anything off, I just have two words for you guys, and it is Annabelle Bronstein, who also happens to live in India. And if you guys know exactly what I'm talking about, you are smiling from cheek to cheek because you know that Samantha Jones made an appearance. And before we even dive into everything, I just gotta say, I don't know what deal Kim Cattrall has to make. I don't know what crap the rest of the cast has to eat, but they need to eat it because we need more Samantha. I mean, she was only in the episode for about 45 seconds, I think, maybe a minute, but it was pure gold. It was pure magic. We all knew that we missed her. We all knew that we needed her. We all knew that she was one of the people who carried Sex and the City. Let's just be for real. I mean, she carried it for everything that it was. And you don't even realize just how much you miss seeing her on screen until you see her on screen. Like, we knew it, but damn, did it really hit in. And we need to see her next season. Like, to be honest with you guys, I was really, really excited that she wanted to do this cameo. And I don't know if she actually saw that a bunch of us across social media was like, okay, if they can't be in a room together, can they do a phone call? Can they do something? That was something that we desperately needed. And a bunch of you guys on Reddit are really mean. Like, oh, she talked all this nonsense and look at her back here. If I also carried a show, and if you are willing to give me the right price tag, and if you are willing to make sure that I didn't have to sit in a room with these people, I too would make an appearance, especially for my fans. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. She did this for us. Yes, the price tag must have been lit, but she did this for us, and that's what a real actress does. Kim, we just want to say we respect your decisions. If you never want to come back on the show, you never have to. But please, if you ever wanted to consider it again, even if it's phone calls, even if it's Zooms that we have to see, even if it's one of those things where, like, you know, you guys appear to be in the same room, even though you're not, editing skills, right? Like, please grace us with that because we need you. The show needs you. Even though this season was much better than last season, the show needs you, and we miss you, Kim. We do respect whatever you put out there, but we do miss you. And it was just amazing to see her. Like, I hope that we give her some money, and I hope that she feels comfortable after doing the stint, and I hope that she comes back. And also, shout out to Patricia Field, who dressed her. I mean, Kim always looks amazing in every movie, every show that she does, even when she's dressed down. But oh my God, did Patricia Field dress that woman. All right, so jumping back into it, that's how the show kicks off. We get a phone call from Samantha after Carrie was talking to Aiden. So Carrie gets this phone call. She's saying, you know, we had so many memories in this apartment. Let me say goodbye. And we also noticed that Carrie is a cat mom. something that I already knew was going to happen. Also, fun fact, Sarah Jessica Parker is a cat lover in real life, and she actually did keep that cat in real life, which I was hoping she would. So that's how we start off. And as you guys may or may not remember, this episode follows exactly off of, the previous episode, getting ready for the Last Supper. And it was amazing. I gotta say, I thought it was going to be more emotional, and I'm glad it was, and I'm glad that it wasn't, too emotional, because this is something that we feel like Carrie needed to do. She needs to part ways with the apartment, although I am still sad that she sold it. I wish she would have subletted it. And so in this episode for Carrie, we see everybody here at the Last Supper, minus Aiden, which I'll get into, and minus Steve, which I was a little bit sad about. I really, really wanted to see Steve there. And I'm actually going to segue a little bit into Miranda and Steve before I get back to Carrie, because a lot of this episode was really focused on like just seeing everybody else and very little to do with Carrie, although when we do see Carrie, it was very big indeed. And I am going to talk about that, but let's segue into Steve. Steve was not at the dinner. I am definitely sad that Shay was at the dinner versus Steve, but I mean, I digress. So we finally see Miranda go out to Coney Island to support Steve, and props to her. This is something that we've all been waiting for. But I wasn't too happy with the conversation that happened between them. I was hoping that they would get back together, but I do respect Steve's decision. So she basically tells him, I want to be someone in your present and future. Right? And when she said that, I'm like, guys, get back together, please. You don't know if you're gay, you don't know if you're straight, you don't know if you're bisexual. Steve will always accept you no matter what. He's gonna accept whatever transition you're going through. Please make it work. This man is willing. But to my surprise, he actually was not willing, and he said, you're not gonna go straight again, are you, and do that whole roller coaster, because I can't do it. Shout out to you, Steve. Shout out to you. I mean, I was really sad when he said that on one end, because I remember him saying the wedding ring will never come off. But then a part of me is like, no, Steve was hurt, and he was hurt for a very, very, very long time, right? And this was so emotional for him. Maybe if this would have been a few episodes prior, when they were in the room and when, they were hugging each other, laid up on the bed, maybe they could have revived something. But I think Miranda really did a number on Steve. And so I was sad that he said that, but I get it. And he tells her something. He's like, I wasn't wrong about us, right? Because she was like, Steve, you're right about everything. You're right that we are going to be good parents. You're right about the move to Brooklyn. The only thing I guess you weren't right about was us. And he says, Miranda, I was right about us for a very long time. Broke my heart, because he was. And I'm always going to be a Steve and Miranda believer, supporter. It would have been very nice to see him there, but I guess in his defense, seeing Shay there would have not been good for him and his soul. And, here's hoping that in season 3, maybe we can see something. Although I called it last episode, was I not right, or was I right? That Joy from BBC, that is going to be her next relationship. And I guess we'll see what happens. I loved Miranda supporting. I loved her going out there. I love, him sticking up for not wanting to go back there. But I love, that Miranda wants to be in Steve's life. Shout out to you. Let's see what happens. I'm extremely glad that her and Shay are not together. Please, writers, don't ever make that shit happen again. But moving forward to good old Charlotte, right? We didn't see anything about Lily and Brady, and to my sadness, they didn't touch about that again, but I know that that's going to be an epic storyline next season, and as you guys may know, it's renewed for next season. But Charlotte wakes up drunk. Yes, Charlotte, good for you. Good for you. Harry decides not to freak out, but then has a freak out, and he's like, I've been doing everything. This has been really hard for me. And she says, honey, you have not been doing everything. She was like, yes, you made a few dinners. Yes, you made a few errands. Yes, you had to do a few things. But what about what women are expected to do every single day? And to be honest, you know, I'm not all for like the guilt trip, or I'm not all for like, you know, hyping up certain things that we do, because that's true, right? And I do think men and women are capable of doing the both things equally. But in this situation, they're not doing it equally. Let's call the spade a spade. Charlotte has carried this family for 10 plus years, and she's been delighted to do that. But that does not mean that she does not need a break off as a mother. That does not mean that she needs a break off as a wife. And the thing is, what people fail to realize is even when our significant others are picking up more of the slack for a short period of time, it still doesn't amount to all that we do. It's appreciated, but we still need more of a break, right? Like, mothers still need more of a break. Wives still need more of a mental break. And so shout out for her for sticking up for her, right? And thank you, Harry, but no thank you. I've done it. You deal with it. Yes, my phone is in a picture of margaritas, and I am sorry, but I am not sorry about that. Please don't call me. And I know that Anthony needs to discuss his anal virginity, but please do not bring up his anal virginity to me. I cannot take it, and that is that. And speaking of Anthony and losing his ass virginity, I mean, what is happening? First of all, I'm with Charlotte for not wanting to touch this conversation at this moment. Her head is spinning. But Anthony, you need to get into the 2023 of things. And a lot of times it's really hard for us to adapt to a new generation. One thing that's very real in this show is that, yes, Candace, I grew up with the show. You know, people of my generation grew up with the show, but when we were watching the show, we weren't even from their generation. So they are very much old school, and I get it. But Anthony, it doesn't make you any less of a man. And that whole thing is killing me. Like, oh, you're the woman, you're this. No, Anthony, you're gonna be fine. I mean, obviously, if you don't wanna lose your ass virginity, fine, don't do it. But if you do wanna do it, like, it is what it is. Like, get in with the now. It's not gonna make you be any less than in your relationship. And so I really love how much Anthony was actually opening up to Giuseppe. A lot of people have issues with their relationship because they're like, oh, he's so young, he's this. But newsflash, in all of our relationships, yes, we're gonna date someone who's a little younger than us. They might be 4 years younger than us, they might be this. You know, he's a grown adult, right? Giuseppe's what, 30 something? Anthony's 50 something, it's fine. Like, it's what tends to happen. And I really loved seeing Anthony cry and admitting that he does have a lot of issues. And I don't mean issues with like the generational thing so much, or issues within the relationship of the man or the woman or whatever the case may be, but just that he has his own issues and it's hard for him to let go. Another thing that I feel like people need to understand on Reddit is that they may not be showing us the grieving that is happening, but Anthony is grieving. Despite his relationship with Stanny, despite that they were allowed, well, he was allowed to cheat or whatever, Anthony lost Stanny. And that's a lot to deal with. It's a lot, like your husband left with no word. Yes, Anthony had a lot to do with that, but it's a lot to process. And getting into another relationship is very real. You know, you guys need to cut these characters some slack. And speaking of grieving and speaking of crying, yes, Dr. Nia Wallace, yes, I've been talking about it. I've been saying these writers have been lazy. You guys are not showing the real grief that we're looking for. And in this episode, you know, we see Dr. Nia grieve. So saying goodbye to Anthony's storyline and moving into hers, she gets accepted into the American Law Institute. Good for you, mama. Like, snaps all around. And so she gets home and she says, you know, Miranda, the first person that I wanted to call was Andre Rashad. Now, let me pause what I'm going to say here. Writers for season 3, do not mention Andre Rashad to any of us ever again. I don't want to hear about the babies are blessings, love them. Maybe I want to hear about the babies, because the babies have nothing to do with it. I don't want to even hear about Andre. I don't want to hear about his girlfriend. I don't want to hear about his music career. I never want to hear about Andre Rashad unless it's to show us a cute little photo of the baby. Other than that, he can eat you know what. And she broke down. We finally got to see the grief. She said, I wanted to share it with Andre. She didn't. And girl, I'm glad you didn't. He does not deserve to be on this journey. Even after he broke your heart, even after he left you, right? Because that's another thing we're not talking about, how quickly he has moved on and pretended that this didn't happen. What he fails to realize is Dr. Naya is ha-ha-ki king with him. They're talking about basketball. She's sending him a gift, but she's hurt. And he doesn't even care that she is hurt. He's actually pulling a very big moment, right? He doesn't care that she's in pain. You knocked up somebody else after knowing them for 5 seconds. You don't deserve to hear about my accomplishments. I'm sorry. Never want to see or hear from him again. But she is convinced to go to the Last Supper. And who does she see? She sees that sexy man from Bar T, who just so happens to be the owner, guys, who I just saw in person a few months ago. And we waved to each other. Wink. She actually just saw him in this episode. Turns out he is the Michelin chef that everybody's been raving about. Which is one of the reasons she even agreed to go to, unbeknownst to her that it was him. But that's why she showed up at Carrie's apartment. And they start kicking it off. He is the sexy man that she met back in, I think, episode 3, who owns the bar and is a renowned cook. And the rest is history. So you already know how we are going to set up season 3. And if the gods and the writers are hearing and listening to me, please, please let her get pregnant next season. Boom, it's going to be a shock. She's just going to appear pregnant. She's going to be happy. And we're going to love to see and hear her storyline. And she's still going to be on the American Law Institute killing shit. Just the way we like to see things. So I am extremely happy for what can, you know, this episode made me extremely happy for what's to come next season. And boy, oh boy, I cannot wait. Now, we are going to get into our last few characters, but we're going to go on a quick break and I will be right back. And we are back and we are left with a few characters. And so one of the characters that I do want to highlight is Shay, because Jackie ends up in this episode. She invited the whole crew minus her ex-lover, and that's Carrie, that is. And, you know, I'm starting to grow on Shay. Shay is starting to grow on me. I love how she says she's transitioning. I love seeing her and Miranda, you know, be able to coexist together. She does apologize to Miranda, but I do like that even though she apologized, you know, she still says, I thought it was funny. Like, she's not apologizing per se for her experience and necessarily, you know, what she said, because she's still holding on to things that are true, and I do love that for her. But she is saying, I'm really sorry that I hurt your feelings, and I do like that, because, you know, sometimes that is true to us and that is how we feel, whether people agree with it or not, right? Whether it makes you an asshole or not. And in many ways it does make her kind of an asshole, right? To see how how she viewed the relationship when she should have just let Miranda go a long time ago. But Miranda, you did deserve that, because you technically did exactly the same to Steve. And asshole or not, like, she's staying true to herself. So I love that about Shay. And I love when she's telling Lisette, which I thought I saw a little bit of a spark. She's telling Lisette, the old me is fucked and the new me is not here yet. Good. You know, we love that you're trying it out. We love this. And, you know, Shay does end up with Toby. Let's see where it goes for next year. But I love seeing her banter with Jackie. Jackie ends up there with his wife. And he's like, hello to the person who ruined our show for our podcast jobs for a show that tanked. I love it. I love how brutally honest they are with each other, but how they can really take that as a joke. Like, I love seeing when two characters are actually written well and seeing the actors execute that. So that was really fun to watch. She does end up with Toby, we see towards the end. And then Seema ends up here, Miss Fendi Queen. And, you know, I think his name was Juan Jose or Jose Carlos, something like that. I love how her hairdresser read her. He read her to the T because he says, you tend to pull away. And that's exactly what we see in this episode. She is going in on Ravi, and Ravi tells her, I do love you. You know, not everybody is scum, Seema. Like, not everybody is lying when they say they have to go to work. Not everybody has bad intentions. But the more you keep arguing and pulling away, you are going to be alone. And Ravi had all the reason to leave her. In fact, if this would have been the old Sex and the City, I don't know if you guys remember how ruthless the characters were in the old Sex and the City, breaking up for no reason, just off of an argument. If this would have been circa 1998 to 2004 Sex and the City, Ravi would have left her ass right there. But he didn't. He says, Seema, I love you. Like, you know, you're batshit crazy, but I love you and I'm not lying to you. And I have to go do this movie for a few months, but I'm going to be here, right? Like, I'm here. And so, Seema, we love you. We love this for you. Please, Seema, don't ruin it. Just go with the flow. And, you know, we see Lisette enjoying her apartment. I still think Carrie should have subletted it, but who am I? I love when she goes, Carrie, do you know about these stains? Carrie was like, oh no, girl, but these are your stains now. Like, you deal with it. And it's so great to see Lisette, because when I look at her, I see a young Carrie, right? Like, I see her, like, if they ever did a spinoff of Sex and the City, like the younger years, I can totally see Lisette playing younger Carrie in a spinoff, like, or even like a reboot of Sex and the City, right? Like, she is totally Carrie. I wouldn't even dye her hair. She is who she is. And so I think ultimately the apartment went to the right person. Let's see what happens in season 3. I do want to say I think Carrie ends up back in this apartment. But before we get to Carrie, I just definitely want to close out with LTW. Love her and her entire outfit. She basically, you know, loses the baby, but she's here. She's totally here. And I love how when Charlotte sees her drinking, she's like, oh my God, you're drinking. She's like, oh my God, am I not supposed to know? Like, I'm sorry. You know, like, am I not supposed to know about the pregnancy? Because she sees Herbert there and he didn't know she knew. And she goes, oh no, Charlotte, we lost the baby. And you can see Charlotte in her Charlotteness. And I love how LTW goes, oh no, not here. But I love how they can do that with each other and nobody takes offense. And I love that they have that relationship. I love that she knows how Charlotte with love can be a lot. And I love how Charlotte knows she can be a lot and she can accept the whole, like, oh, not here, we'll talk about it later. Like, I just love watching these two women on screen. Everyone has their other best friend, right? Like, Naya is to Miranda, Seema is to Carrie, LTW is to Charlotte, and Samantha is to Samantha, of course, but, and to all. But I love how these women complement each other. And, you know, at the Last Supper, they're all saying something that they want to let go of, fear. And, you know, LTW says something she talks about her fears, but she has this real emotional moment in the bathroom. And she says to Herbert, did I wish the baby away? And that really, really stuck with me, because one thing that I loved about this show that a lot of people don't get on Reddit and think, like, is boring, but these storylines are real. This is what happens. These women are in their late 40s and 50s, and this is what happens. Like, miscarriages happen. These storylines are real. A lot of people are so hard on the show, and in some ways I get it, but in other ways, like, guys, you have to go easy. This is what makes the show, right? Like, they may not be the main characters, but on one hand, you guys complained that you wanted to see more of them. Now that you see more of them, you complain about the storylines, but this is what Sex and the City is, right? Like, we went through this with Charlotte when she miscarried, right? We went through this with Carrie when she thought she was pregnant and was going through all these motions of not knowing if she wants children. These are storylines that are very real, and I really do like the way the writers are writing this, like, how they're doing these storylines. I do hope that they keep it up, because I do want to see more of it, right? And to be honest, it would have been interesting to see her go through with this pregnancy, but she didn't get rid of it. I mean, like, the pregnancy actually, you know, stick, like, her actually having the baby and everything being okay. But in the midst of all of that, you know, that was a very real fear that she had. And within that fear that she mentioned and she talked about at the Last Supper table, you know, all these other things do come up because she is a working woman. And, you know, I anticipate more of these things happening in season three, more of these real gritty storylines, and I'm here for it. And so now the creme de la creme. Now going to Carrie. At the end of the episode, Aiden is classic Aiden, right? Classic season four, where they're throwing rocks at each other's window, and he actually comes upstairs to the apartment. Some of you guys on Reddit thought that maybe he was actually using Carrie this episode and was gonna break up with her, because they're like, oh, he so easily went into this apartment. He must have wanted to break up with her. He must have like been using her to like hurt her when she opened up to him. No, I don't think that's what it is. I think Aiden is having a lot of realizations because he's been apologizing a lot to Carrie for certain behaviors that I don't necessarily think he needed to apologize for, but I'm glad that he did, because in certain things he was a little controlling, but in other things I thought he was human, but I'm glad he apologized. And I think that Aiden is starting to realize, like, yes, this apartment was very traumatizing for me, but we made so many good memories. And so he bangs on her window, he comes upstairs, and he doesn't break up with her, but he tells her, Carrie, you are all that I thought about all these years. And that's very true. We have to understand that Aiden was Carrie's big. And so he says, I cannot be with you right now because Wyatt is freaking the fuck out. And excuse my French, and Wyatt needs me. Mom is out and about. You know, my kids have always been more with me than they've ever been with their mom. And that broke me because I had no doubt in my head that Aiden was like the best parent and the go-to parent. Even to the many amount of times Wyatt would call him and, Dad, I need you to come home, and Dad, I want to see you, and your itinerary, like, it really resonated with me, like, wow, like, this is his person. Like, Aiden is everything for his kids and vice versa. And so that being said, you know, Wyatt needs me. But what pissed me off is 5 years, Aiden. She can't visit you, and I get that, and I'm gonna come back to that. But she can't visit you, really, because Wyatt is going through all these motions. He's, I don't want to say he's suicidal, but he really, you know, I think he did mushrooms. He really went off the deep end, you know, and he's so sensitive to this relationship. But Kathy gets to live her best life. Bullshit. I call bullshit completely. Like, I need the writers to fix this, because I get what Aiden is doing, and I love how a lot of you guys are having sympathy for him on Reddit and not bashing him. Like, yes, be there for your kids. Your kids come first, absolutely. But it is not fair that Kathy can go be with her boyfriend. And as Aiden said, he was always the present parent, you know? Even when they were together, she was always in a different country or out with her boyfriend. Like, you know, and that to me is something that sucks. Like, why does Aiden need to put the love of his life on hold? Meanwhile, Kathy, who was not always the present parent and who has now, since the divorce, made her way with her boyfriend, gets to just live her life. And yes, I get it, Aiden, you want to be the best parent, and you'll take that, right? You'll eat that. Let her be in her happiness while you stay with your kids. I get it, but it is so incredibly sad to see that Aiden doesn't get to be with the love of his life. And a lot of people on Reddit understood, because he has kids, and I do understand. And then there are some of you guys on Reddit who are like, 5 years, like, fuck him. I'm conflicted. I don't think Aiden will ever cheat on her. I don't think Aiden is not going to come through with his promise. I don't think Aiden is going to forget about Carrie. I do think they're going to very much continue their relationship long distance. In fact, I do see some sneaky links happening, like, hey, I got to go away for business, and he shows up at their apartment, right? But it just kills me that this is happening in this way. Hopefully in season three, they write this out better, because I know MPK said he is not going to bring Aiden back to fail. And I can't see season three happening where Aiden is not present at some point. You know, like, I don't want to see Carrie dating. I don't want to see them doing long distance and then Carrie flirting and maybe having a jump off or whatever. No, like, don't do that to us. Let us figure shit out with Wyatt. You know, at some point, stand your ground, Aiden. Like, yes, be there for your kid, but also let him know daddy needs to be happy. Like, papi needs to find love. He needs to be happy. Carrie's not out to get you. Like, let us do this with you. Let us do this together. Like, I want to see more of that. And if not that, definitely some sneaky links. Like, you guys can't let Aiden go. Like, don't fail him, MPK. You said you didn't bring him back to fail. Please don't fail him. Do him justice. Do him right. And, you know, Carrie's heart was breaking, and I felt for her because she's basically saying, okay, Aiden, like, damn, I can't see you. Okay, Aiden. Okay, Aiden. Okay, Aiden. And a part of me feels like Carrie feels like she has to, like, give him these years because she's broke his heart time and time and time and time and time again. So she's willing to do whatever it takes. And I also do genuinely think she's willing to do it. Like, I think that Carrie, even if she wouldn't have broken his heart in the past and felt like she owed him something, I think she would have done this anyway. But, oh man, I was so sad for her. But let's see what happens. You know, her and Seema end up in Greece. They're both just enjoying life, drinking their Cosmopolitan. Seema's waiting 5 months for her man. Carrie is quote-unquote waiting the 5 years for her man. Please, season 3, do not fail me. If you need to hire me, please, like, Jay, you're a big-time producer. Jay, make that shit happen. Talk to someone, Jay, and make it happen that they hire me to come in as a writer. Who better than me? I know Sex and the City better than all the writers. Yes, I said it. MPK, you can come for me all you want. Yes, I said it. Hire me, please. I will write the shit out of season 3. I will quit my teaching job if I have to write season 3 of this show. That's how much I love it. That's how much I'm invested in these characters. That's how much I want to see things work out for Carrie. And also, please, like, I got the gift of gab. If you guys only knew, I can sell a bridge. Let me go in there to Max and offer Kim Cattrall a sweet-ass deal to get her ass back on End Just Like That, because I will do that. Like, I can be her publicist. Fun fact, I went to school for PR. I went to school for marketing, advertising. Like, I specialized and majored in public relations, so call me honey, because I will do it all. So that ties and wraps our entire Last Supper episode part 2. All in all, closing this out, I did love the show. It was a big step up from season 1. I completely enjoyed watching how things transpired. Yes, Shay on her own was extremely much more enjoyable, powerful. Carrie finding her love. You know, Charlotte going back to work, we needed this. Like, we needed this. Steve reading Miranda, yes, Steve. I do want them to get back together, but I understand if they don't. I have to say, I'm pleasantly surprised with how everything transpired. And Jay and I are gonna work out an after show where I'm gonna answer way more questions. I'm gonna put all of these things out there on our Twitter, on our threads, on our Instagram. I'm already out there on Reddit, already asking you guys if I can, like, definitely use you guys to tell the juice. So on our after show, I'm gonna pull all of these things that you guys have been saying, and we're gonna dive into everything. It's gonna be a real fan show. But yeah, I mean, all in all, I have nothing but good things to actually say, which I didn't think I would have to say about this season. I'm pleasantly surprised. And before we even get through the fashion portion, I do have one question from Heather Starr, our loyal fan. She says, last episode question, how do we feel about this 5-year wait business? Is this Carrie's karma? Ooh, she always puts Aiden in the back burner, so to say. Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is her karma per se, because I don't think Aiden is necessarily doing this on purpose, but I do think that this is something Carrie should eat. I think Carrie has several seeds. You're in your 50s. You already lost one love of your life. You're not trying to lose the other. He has kids, and this is what comes with it, right? Like, Carrie, wait this one out, because Aiden is a good one. We know he's a good one. He's always been a good one. Him even showing up to the apartment, lets you know that he's trying to move on in the positive note. And it lets me know, like, hey, I thought of you all these years. I'm not going anywhere. So, yes, I think she needs to wait. Do I care about the five-year business? Absolutely not, Heather. I think it's bogus. I think Wyatt needs to have several seats. I would have been giving him a cocotazo. Like, come on. Like, come on. Like, I mean well. Caring means well. Your mom is living her best life, not giving a fuck. Like, what are we doing, Wyatt? I'm here for you. Let's all be in this together. But hopefully it's not going to be a five-year wait. That's how I feel about that. So we are going to go on another quick break. And when I come back, we are going to do all the fashion. I found the infamous dress. I cannot wait to tell you guys all about it. And we'll be back in a jiffy. All right, guys. And we are back with the fashion. Now, I just got to say, Miranda, always killing us with the fashion, but the affordable fashion, right? For us who are still paying off our student loans. So the sweater that she wore when she was talking to Steve is actually from Private Label, and it is the woman's cashmere mock neck pullover sweater, which, check this, cashmere means cha-ching. It actually means cash. It's just cash. And so it retails for $218, but it is actually on sale for $58.99. And you can shop that at Shop Premium Outlets. And let's also get her jacket that she wore over the sweater, which is also from Shop Premium Outlets. And it is the Splendid Melly Plaid Coatigan in Charcoal. It retailed at $259, but it's also on sale for $171. So yes, Miranda, thank you for always coming through with these sales. And her outfit for the Last Supper. Now this one is, it is on sale, but you know, it's a little pricey. It's for, you know, after you've paid your student loans and you got some money to spare and your credit cards are all on zero. This one is that red dress with that nice, nice orange tone in the bottom. Is Roxanda draped two-tone crepe midi dress that retails for $1,875, but is on sale for $938. Now, to me, that's a sale, but you know, you guys know I'm expensive anyway. So you can buy that on the Outnet. And talking about Miranda, moving on to Dr. Naya Wallace, her Last Supper outfit was actually from none other than Ralph Lauren. It retailed, y'all, at $3,690, but it is on sale for $915, and you can get it at Saks Fifth Avenue. Dare I say, you can also get it on the Ralph Lauren website, if I saw correctly. It is Ralph Lauren Collection Nicola Trumpet Hem Dress. And I actually really love that dress. She was doing it in that dress. And speaking of some more Last Supper outfits, Charlotte, of course, to my surprise, is not in a floral Oscar de la Renta, but she's actually in a Markarian dress that's floral, and it has that nice slit and that ruffled top. It is the Poly Black Floral ICAT off the shoulder ruffle midi dress, retailing at $1,995. And in true Charlotte fashion, remember when she told us back in Sex and the City that she can't even buy things on sale? She was not lying, because this dress is not on sale, okay? And so then moving on to LTW slaying at Saks Fifth Avenue. First of all, they did a lot of Saks Fifth Avenue in this episode. She is wearing a Christopher John Rogers metallic floral patterned mixed media gown. Her and Charlotte love their florals. Now, this dress is on sale. She shops a sale, apparently. It was $3,895, but you guys can now get it for $965.96. Ew, we love a good sale. And I love how it has those open shoulders, yes. And who better to rock that than LTW? Now, I am going to go to Carrie. Now, first I'm gonna show you a dress. Well, I'm gonna speak and tell you guys about this dress that she wore. And it was that vintage 80s periwinkle metallic silk Mary McFadden for Jack Mulqueen ruffle silk dress. Okay. And this is the dress that she wore, I believe. What was she doing? I think she was talking to someone. It wasn't for the Last Supper, but I really did enjoy this dress when I saw her in it. I can't remember exactly in the episode when she wore it, but that is a very vintage dress that you can find. It is 1980s fashion, and I just had to highlight that. I love that they're actually reviving a lot of these old fashions and bringing them back to life, because these designers need love too. Like, hello, let's get these designers back on the market. And so that again was Mary McFadden for Jack McQueen. And then the skirt that she wore when she was talking to, I'm sorry, when she was talking to Samantha on the phone, is actually on sale, guys. That is an Emily and Finn skirt by Brianna Jaipur. Actually, it's Emily and Finn, and the skirt is Brianna Jaipur plaid skirt, retailing for $150. But the creme de la creme that you guys really only cared about and wanted to hear about was her Last Supper outfit, which, of course, was none other than Oscar de la Renta. Yes, to my Latino designers, may he rest. It was the strapless metallic black and silver checkerboard tulle gown. Now, this gown retailed at $12,990. If anybody loves me enough, my Cash App is Citrul. Please Cash App me if you ever cared enough, and I will gladly buy this outfit, and I will rock this outfit as well for you guys. And then we can do a who wore it better. I'm kidding. Nobody can ever wear it better than Carrie. And so last but not least, I do want to highlight another Fendi queen, of course, because did you guys think it was just going to be Seema? You were sadly mistaken. Who other than the Fendi queen herself, Samantha, with that Fendi first midi bag that she had in her scene, which was nice neon green, and it retails for $3,490. Don't tell me that I did not find that for you guys. I do's what it does. And so that is all the fashion for today. If I had to choose a winner, of course, Carrie won hands down. Anytime you throw somebody an Oscar de la Renta, okay, and they're making a statement, they're always going to be the winner. Charlotte has won plenty of times. Carrie, she wins for this episode. So that closes us out. I do want to say thank you guys for your patience. Thank you guys for an incredible season 2. I do have another show coming up in October where I'm recapping all of the Sex and the City episodes. Not and just like that, I'm talking about Sex and the City, my favorite show on the planet. I take you guys back to 1998, and I'm coming in hot with a co-host. It is not going to be Jay, sadly, but I'm coming in with a co-host who you guys probably know, named Sally Nader. She's big on TikTok because she's been doing her own Sex and the City recaps, and her and I are collabing to do what it does. Latinas taking over the podcast world. Latinas taking over the Sex and the City world. Hire us, guys. Just saying. So I am very excited. I hope you guys stay tuned for that show. Jay and I are working very hard to put that together for you all. And I love you guys so much. Thank you guys for being so loyal. Thank you for listening. Again, if you guys do want to buy my book, that book is Abuela y Candy. It is on Barnes & Noble. It is on Amazon. It is on Books Are Magic. It is on Books A Million. And I love you guys. And I cannot wait to see you guys on the after show and see you guys next season for season 3 of And Just Like That. Ciao.